All right, y'all, the world is on fire. We're back, somehow recording this. The police have not kicked down our doors yet. I am Johnny. That's all I got for you today. I ain't got other names, man. It's not time to be joking around, be turning wifeys into waifus, man. We need to turn these police officers into nonviolent protesters. That's what we need, man. This shit is crazy, man, but I'm in here.
How you feel about that? How you feel about that?
You gonna introduce yourself?
Protesters, yeah. It's AJ. How you feel about
where's the location of where you from, AJ?
AJ, that's no introduction.
Allegedly Dubai, but it's not real.
And you know, it's your boy Young Steros, aka Mike Lowry, aka Mr. Get Buckets.
So smooth.
How you feel about the cops kneeling with everybody and walking with protesters and doing all that? There's a mixed feelings about it.
About kneeling with them? I mean, it depends on how their local department's doing. Like, I'm sure there are good local police departments that exist that are probably great at doing their job. Like, the same way that there are bad police departments that are existing or the very reason why we're having these protests right now. And I feel like if you fall into that category, then you're allowed to do that. Now, the real question is, what is the probability that those cops exist? I don't know. And if I had to make a guess, it's probably really low. So I can see why people would say that's disingenuous and kind of fucked up. But on the off chance that they happen to be really, really good at their jobs and they're great cops, I think those people should be commended and they should definitely be willing to participate in taking that knee because they truly believe that and they represent that in their job every day. But yeah, I mean, outside of that, I've seen the cops do a lot of weird shit during this time. I've seen cops participate in looting. I've seen cops participate in fucking running people over with their cars, shooting rubber bullets at journalists, throwing tear gas and just peaceful protests for no fucking reason. I wasn't surprised that the cops were doing that because I think a good friend of the show and was a guest on this podcast, Dylan Basher, tweeted out something really recently that really spoke volumes to me, which was just that it takes 3 weeks for somebody to become a police officer to enforce the law, but it takes several years and having to go through a bar exam and this whole rigorous process just to study the law, to have a voice on the law being a lawyer. So that's kind of a weird position that we find ourselves in. But even like off topic from that, to go back to my original point, I always knew that there were going to be some bad actors because we're not sending our best to be police right now. That's unfortunate. Like, now that isn't to say that there are amazing police officers that exist that exceed their job, but I don't necessarily think that we as a society prioritize us making sure that we have a high standard for our police department. I just don't think our eyes are on it, not to say that we're actively doing one or the other. The thing that shocked me was, if we know that there are going to be bad actors with the police department, why are they fucking walking around with military equipment? Which leads into the thing that I was talking to you, AJ, about earlier today, which was the fact that since 2008, we have absolutely increased the amount of military givebacks or Passovers, trade downs, from, deprecated, degraded military weapons to the police officers. So a better way to rephrase what I'm saying is when the military gets newer, shinier guns, instead of either selling them or destroying them or doing other stuff with it, since 2008 onwards, we have substantially decided to take those guns and give them down to our local police departments, people who didn't necessarily need them. So due to the fact that we wanted to reuse our supply of stuff that we bought, I mean, people do this in businesses all the time. They recycle products and materials that they make. Even sometimes they'll take waste and turn it into something that might be useful in terms of generating a product. People do this in business all the time. But in this one specific use case, it's not a good idea. I think we're seeing it play out right now in these protests.
But it's only not a good idea because the police aren't what they say they're supposed to be doing. Like, if police were actually about protect and serve, well, all 100% of them, we wouldn't have any problems giving them hand-me-downs from the military.
True, but it goes back to my original point. Are we willing to become a society that actually prioritizes holding police officers to a high standard, such that making the process hard by passing legislation and say, it's not going to take 3 weeks anymore, and you should be able to just be able to do this rinky-dink with a high school diploma, right?
So how many cops do you think you're going to have?
Probably not as much, but then they get that. If we want to live, I'm saying if we want to live in a world where we're passing down military weapons to police officers, the bar should be raised. That's what I'm saying. But that might be just my opinion. So, what are your thoughts on all this?
I agree that the bar to become a police officer should definitely be a lot higher. 3 weeks definitely is not enough time to really just learn how to diffuse the situations that they're in. Because it's not like anybody is saying that being a cop isn't a hard job. It's just they aren't equipped to actually be cops, most of them,
right?
Just because they haven't been through the necessary training to like deal with the high pressure situations that they normally will face. Well, not normally, but there's some time we're going to face. And just it, the way that America is, it's not a desirable job. So like, you don't get the best talent wanting to be a police officer, because it's kind of just like, either it's like a family thing, like, oh, my dad was a cop, I want to be a cop, something like that, somebody in their family. Or it's kind of like, dang, I don't know what else I'm gonna do, I guess I'm gonna become a cop. Or like the people who never had any authority when there was kids getting bullied and stuff, it's like, now I'm on like, I'm gonna become a cop, so it gives me that authority and that like sense of purpose. And like, so it's kind of just, we just playing a tough game, I guess, like, right, with the way the job is structured right now. Because at the end of the day, these still are just regular civilians, but they got the shield behind them and all that stuff, so that gives them some sense of like a higher status.
Absolutely. And it's absolutely, it's just so tragic that we've had to come to this, that we had to get to these reaction points. But you know, it's crazy to say, but even one police brutality murder ago, I was kind of working off of the opposite fear, that people had grown too numb to this. You know what I mean? That people didn't care after Laquan McDonald and after all these other killings. You know what I mean? The Tamir Rices of the world. I kept seeing this process play out where it would go viral. People would tweet about it. Like, white liberals would use it to be some political point. Then the other side would get off, and then people would yell at their politician for a little bit. The politician wouldn't do anything. Hopes and prayers, and then it would go away in 2 weeks. And I thought that that rinse and repeat process had happened so much that nobody cared anymore. And in a fucked up way, this is kind of like a good cathartic cleansing process. As horrible and as violent as this is, as despicable as this is, I think, as crazy as it sounds, I think there's going to be a lot of good that comes from this, but it just sucks that this is happening, and I hope it doesn't get worse for you.
So what do you think comes from this?
Oh, like, I think that, that's a good question. Like,
because we can't, I mean, everybody's saying this is noble and this is great and this is warranted and all that and it's going to be great, but what actually happens after this?
In an ideal world, what if you could do anything to fix the problem, AJ, what, in an ideal world, what would you do?
Again, but that goes, that stems into the military industrial complex, and because all the funding that we provide to bomb and destroy these other countries to get opium and oil and resources out of them, we fund them towards cops who only get right now $50,000 a year. If you increase that to 70, 80, 90, you get higher quality people.
And also make the process harder.
And less corruptible, right? Yep.
Yeah.
And less corruptible at the same time. And that way you would have better cops. But if you don't fix the funnel of money that the US has, then there's not many options.
It's not that completely, because there are cops like in Boston making like 100,000 and like up to 200,000. There's like, it depends on like where they're living and the socioeconomic background behind the neighborhood.
Yeah, there are certain sections where
there's very few,
but it is very rare and far between.
And I'm sure they never shot anybody, right?
Boston cops.
No, but you think the $100,000 cops are shooting innocent black people?
Boston cops are $100,000 cops, so then by definition, yeah, they're really fucked up and doing some fucked up racist shit. Yeah, Boston cops are some of the worst fucking cops out there. Sorry, that was so, I just dissed the whole city, but I love the Celtics. Love the Celtics. Shouts out, Cage.
But that's my thoughts on it, is you can't, like, I don't know what is going to come. What do you think is going to happen to this?
I don't know. We've never been here before. I don't know. Charles, what about you? What do you think?
I think if it keep happening, there's possible a change will happen. But I mean, that's why I don't have any problem with the looting and the rioting and stuff. Because in order to make a change, you gotta fuck up the money. Like, it's just how America works. Like the Boston Tea Party. If we go throw it all the way back to the Boston Tea Party, what was they doing? They was fucking up Britain's money.
Yeah.
But it's
the difference.
Bullshit.
They weren't looting the tea. They were throwing that motherfucker overboard. So if you really want to loot, you're not gonna go there and choose Jordan's your size to take home to wear the next day.
True.
You burn all that shit down.
True.
So anybody looting and stealing purses, bags, you're not really for the cause. You just want shit to show off.
They're kind of just ruining
the cause. I mean, that's true.
But let's get into this. How many of those people are actually protesting?
Exactly. I know the cops, some of the cops are the ones starting the shit, but that... Yeah.
I would like to say that there is unequivocally blame on both sides here. I've seen MAGA terrorists show up. I've seen Antifa terrorists show up.
I've seen the police who, in some instances, especially right now, are sure as shit acting like terrorists if they're not doing their job. Like, and are participating in what Sterling just said, looting and all of these other horrible activities that we've been seeing on social media. Just in general, even the very premise of police brutality should prove to you that the cops can and should be described as terrorists. Because what they've done in terms of just killing people innocently should be a legit terror to every American citizen. That's a rational fear at this point, because we've gotten to this point. Don't take pride in saying that. I still love and trust our police officers on a generic sense, but there is real rational fear, especially as a man of color, that I have every single time I see them motherfucking drive by, bro. I've been pulled over for just being colored. You have been pulled over for being black. Sterls, I'm sure the same shit has happened to you. There's been times where I just even have my black friends in my car and a white person is driving, and we'll still get pulled over because they'll see just a bunch of black people in the window. Like, it's been there since the precipice of our relationship with police in this country.
I mean, AJ got a ticket because of his name once.
I'm so mad. Yes, I wanted to snitch on Jay so bad.
That's fucked up. So they gave you a ticket because of your name?
Yeah, because I was under 18 and they had all our IDs.
Yeah.
So they saw my name, and I told them I wasn't drinking. I was acting regular, standing right next to Jay.
Right.
They saw my ID. They said, I'm Abdel. I would like to breathalyze you, please. I was like, fuck.
Damn.
So what happens after this? Because I don't think people are really about it, as they say. And this is how I don't think.
What do you mean by about it, though?
So, okay, so we're all about support black, support colored people, do all that, right?
Yeah.
That means after this, nobody shops from Amazon anymore. Everybody goes to black-owned stores, black-owned grocery stores.
Wait, let me stop you right there. So, what does Amazon got to do with this current situation that's happening with the police?
Because most of the issues we have aren't really racism, racial issues. They're more socioeconomic issues. And that's the root of black people's problems.
So, what is that got to do with Amazon? I guess connect these dots for me.
If we keep, and remember, you know how people are starting to bring up Black Wall Street and how they bomb Black Wall Street?
Also, Oklahoma.
Yep, that's what it was. It was black people that owned the grocery stores, owned the butcher market, owned the flower shop, owned that. So if we're really about support our own and we care about black lives, we should care about black lives all the time and not just when they're being shot. We should care about them when their businesses don't have enough income. And we choose the convenience of Amazon and one day shipping and better pricing
instead of going to the black
business. Instead of going to which costs more. Absolutely. That's what I mean by about it. But like, that's why I don't like these things, because a lot of them are all, most of them are all talk. We're not willing to give up our convenience for things we say we care about. The same about, I have a MacBook. Right. I'm not willing to say.
You're not willing to get the black book because you're trying to get the Mac.
Exactly.
Because you think the MacBook's the best product.
I'm not willing to say, yo, I'm against all child slavery and march against child slavery while I type on my MacBook.
And that's like it's not. So you see the hypocrisy.
The hypocrisy of it.
It's not going to lead to real change being enacted.
And that's what we actually need. These protests are a good sign, but they need to be followed up on.
You got to change the system. It takes more than just doing all that stuff when there's been systems built in place for years and years to force people out of that.
If you say that and stop there and continue to shop at Amazon, Walmart, that's a victim mentality. Because then you're not doing anything for it. You're just saying, oh, it's all fucked up. And then.
I agree. I'm just saying, like, it's kind of hard.
Absolutely.
Especially when you got people at the bottom.
It is. But because it is hard, and like you were saying, the hypocrisy of it is going to make people complacent. If we assume that's to be true, I think this furthers my argument that I was telling. This is a hot take, y'all. I was telling AJ this yesterday. I believe that Joe Biden is going to be our president in 2020, whether you motherfuckers like this shit or not. Like, it's happening. I'm not saying like, yay, I'm for him, or like any of that shit. I'm just telling you, the same feeling that I was getting in 2016 about Hillary airballing the layup that was the 2016 election, Donald Trump is about to fuck this up. And that's not to be pro-Biden. I want to really emphasize this. I'm saying you could run a billy goat for the Democratic nominee right now, and that billy goat is going to win the 2020 election. And it's not because of justice. It's not just because of the pandemic. It's because Trump continuously keeps shoving his foot into his own mouth such that he's chipping away at his core base. And then Anonymous? Oh my god, Anonymous fucks it.
You think he's doing it on purpose though? I kind of feel like he don't want to be president no more. I feel like he realized how tough this shit was. He's like, fuck this. Like, I'm trying to get out of this, so I'm just going to do the dumbest shit I can to get the fuck out of here.
Yo!
I think he only wanted it for the business reasons, because he didn't think he was going to win. Like, I truly kind of believe that now. And then now once he won, he's like, oh shit, I don't know what I'm doing. And then he realized the difficulties, and now he's like, fuck, I'm just going to say some reckless shit.
I guess to add on to that, Donald Trump has been tweeting a lot recently that mail-in voting isn't fraudulent. It's an illegal practice. But by the way, it's super legal. You totally can do that. It's been around since the Civil War. It is part of our rights as a human being. Don't let anybody on either political side of the aisle tell you that, you know, mail-in voting is illegitimate. However, if you are a minority, do not do mail-in voting, because they will not count your fucking vote in certain states. Like, they did that in Georgia in 2018. That's how Brian Kemp won the governorship from fucking Stacey Abrams. But anyways, the fact that he's tweeting so much about, oh, this is fucking fraudulent and all this shit, is he's already setting up the little breadcrumb trail of saying that this voting process was rigged. Oh, as if he's setting it right, which is perfectly where he needs to be if he wants to lose right now, because he can lose and still be like, the system fucked me. They got me out of there. My people still rocking with me. The system fucked me because they knew I was being too good at my fucking job. And so he's going to run that and get out in one second. And he's already starting with his mail-in voting shit to add on to what Cyril said.
But I thought his mail-in voting was because he was scared of them rigging it.
Isn't that what I just said, though?
Yeah.
So you with me on it.
Maybe wrong to be so anti-mail-in voting?
It's been around since this fucking Civil War. You can't be like, hey, the certain methods of how you vote.
Oh, he wants it just gone.
Absolutely. Which is so, like, different. I mean, you're such an
authoritarian, bro. It's absurd. Like, I don't know. I'm with the general public thing in that Trump is kind of dog walk Biden.
Yeah. And by the way, isn't that the general consensus?
That's the general
consensus. Sterling, do we all agree that the general consensus is that Donald Trump is about to dog walk Biden in this election and just moonwalk his way into a second term? That is the consensus, right?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's what most presidents do. They get the second term.
Right. And so that's what makes my take, I guess, so high. I guess Sterling's take so hot too. I have a feeling Biden has secured this. But man, let's get past, you know, all of this horrible election nonsense, police brutality shit. How y'all been holding up now that shit's been opening back up? We got some, at least a little shred of positive news, you know what I'm saying? Some things are opening up, at least in certain states. I don't know, AJB, we're here in Texas, so shit is back to normal at 25%, which is great. I can still do everything I need to, but yeah, I'm curious to see Sterling how this.
Yeah, the gym was supposed to, it was supposed to open up today. But I think this curfew shit shut it all down because I tried to go. Besides that, everything is the same for me. I should be going to work and stuff. The restaurants are starting back to open up. You can sit down at most of them now at their capacity and stuff.
And with the restaurants opening up, that means dating finally fucking returns. Holy shit, the drought ends. I can finally get these shots off. AJ, you've been acting?
No. Same drought as everybody else. Yeah, thirsty than a muffler.
I guess, how have you been trying to break the curse in these weird, weird times? What's AJ's love life looking like? He's had a Love and Hip Hop episode, a Love and AJ episode.
So X hit me back, so she's probably trying to fuck my, that's not gonna last.
Ooh, okay, but still, it's walking in there. How's she creep back? How does a girl creep back in with a guy usually? Did they just say, hey, what's up? You can fuck me now?
No, I want to check on you.
She want to check on you after she just abandoned you.
Right.
I've seen this movie.
Right. And then, so, you know, she hit me up, wanted to be friends. But we've had that conversation. We can't be friends. Because I'm trying to fuck. Finally, you got a friends with benefits agreement, I guess. But it's not going to last.
Come on. Yeah. I hate every single time a girl tries to do a friends with benefits thing. I'm like, all right, we're going to fuck for like solid 2 or 3 weeks. And then one of us, either me or her, is gonna catch feelings. And this is just gonna turn into an emotional train wreck in like a week.
That's it. Or you could be an incel like Sterling.
What'd you say?
Sterling, you an incel?
I don't know what you're saying.
An incel. An involuntary celibate.
Well, Sterling, do you know what an incel is?
A voluntary celibate.
Tell him, AJ, we gotta educate. Alright, Sterling. So there's this group of people on the internet that can't get laid. They call themselves involuntary celibate. So it's not their choice. But they can't get pussy. So they just talk to each other and hang out.
So it's everybody just getting together and just hating hoes.
Just hating, not hating hoes, hating the dudes that get hoes.
Damn.
Wait!
And they hate women for how they are because they're not like men.
They
hate both.
So they just hate everybody.
Sounds like cops.
Nah.
Cops fuck, I feel like Asian. Cops fucking prostitutes.
Yeah.
Too, NYP, I can't speak on everywhere. Shit, I should even like Asian massage rooms and shit.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, not even that, bro. Like, straight up hookers, bro.
Probably, because they're not going to arrest anybody.
And it's like, yo, if you catch a prostitute on the street, you're just like, all right, I'll let you go. And then it's like, Brad, there's a scene. If you, you know what I mean? I'll get you out of these handcuffs.
Johnny's back. So, what's your favorite porn scene?
What?
What's your favorite porn scene?
I don't have a favorite.
You have a go-to?
You have a go-to? Let's get into that. You have a go-to porn scene?
Like, it's not go-to, but it's like, if I had to pick one, yeah.
Really? For me, I don't. I just go and just find porn. I'm like, I get the need, taken care of, and I'm out of there.
But it's not one.
Unless it's like a bad chick, but in which case I'm focused more on the chick and less about the scene.
No, I mean, it's obviously the chick in the scene, but you don't have one that you go back to, like there's one that you haven't seen in a minute.
Nah, because my mood varies and stuff. I guess I'm a very, I'm into a diversity of things. Like, I don't read the same book. I don't watch the same TV show over and over again. So that's just me personally. I don't know if most people are like that. I don't know if most people have a go-to porn scene. I wonder, hey, leave your thoughts in the comments section below on whatever platform that you're streaming this from, you goofball. Let us know. Do you have a go-to favorite porn scene?
Sterles?
I don't.
You know, like the top three you choose from?
Not even, no, because I don't think most people care about scenes like that.
Maybe in my younger days when I was like in high school and stuff, and like there wasn't as much stuff out as there is now.
You guys grew up way different. You have to understand, I am about 4 sexual years behind both of you. It's not that, it's just I was so into Islam that I didn't want to sin. So I went through a period where I was just, what's the term? Wet dreaming.
Yeah.
It's the greatest feeling.
What, wet dreaming?
Bro, when you nut on yourself when you're asleep, it is the great, because it feels like you're just peeing your pants, but it's just getting warm, and it just feels great. Bro.
No, that shit is the worst. That shit sucks. I don't know what planet you from.
So you feel good when you wake up crusty?
You are awake, like when you wet dream, you are awake for the orgasm.
Oh, so that's how you wake up. You wake up coming.
You wake up nutting. So if you go about 2 months, 3 months without jerking off, right, you start wet dreaming.
2 weeks.
Wet dreaming. If you go long enough, it will come.
Oh, like, yeah, I can't imagine what a year's worth in the tank would do. That sounds terrifying.
I'm telling you, it feels great. It feels.
You're saying
it does not.
Phenomenal. It's worth it, just not fucking no girls and just waiting for a year and just dizzing my own bed.
No, it's definitely not worth it.
Oh, okay.
But it feels fantastic. Like, I don't know.
I don't think so. I disagree.
Cyrus, have you ever had it?
Yes, multiple times.
That's because your orgasms ain't shit.
No. No. You don't wake up fully. I don't know about what happens with you. I don't wake up fully. So then when I do wake up, I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, shit. I just feel all nasty and stuff. Because it's all just on my leg and stuff.
Let me ask you this, because I've never had a wet dream before. So, like, are you guys actually consciously having a dream and then you orgasm? And are they related? So that might kind of further the point of it feeling good. If you're having a fire dream with this babe, idealistic woman, is you're smashing her and then you wake up at night, what is the difference between that and jerking off?
One is all in the mind and one is actually kind of physical.
One is external stimulus, one's internal.
I think both are of the mind. One is just conscious and one is subconscious. That's what I'm thinking.
Like, but you're not creating porn. You're watching porn. Like you're consuming porn.
Oh, I see.
You're creating the dream.
Do you consciously dream though?
Yeah, back then when I wasn't smoking weed, I was.
So you could like lucid dream and shit?
No, I didn't control it. Like it just came when it came.
Oh, okay, I got
you.
Do you have to clean all your blankets and stuff after? Like, it seems like you have a positive experience such that you didn't have any fear when you woke up of like cleaning up the bed sheets or anything like that.
Nah, it never went through the bed sheets because back then I used to wear underwear. So I used to have 2 layers, so I just put my clothes in the middle of all the other clothes.
All right. And now we're here. Now we're at this part of the episode. Yo, speaking of just like all these dating situations and stuff, I just like recently ran into this incident where, you know, you're talking to a chick, like y'all match like on one of those apps and stuff like that. and then y'all are going on that back and forth. Usually it's,
for me, at least in particular, but I'm generally seeing, it's imperative for the guy, if they want to ask that girl out, they just kind of do it early and just knock it out. And that's what I did in this instance. And so like, we already have a date set up for like next week and all that stuff. And now she's just trying to like do small talk up until then. My mentality personally is that you should talk to that chick as little as you can until you get up to the first date. And my reasoning is, the more that you talk, the more probability that you have to fuck up that first date. Because I'm just trying to get to the first date, and then whatever happens, happens. But I feel like if I'm having this small talk with you before the first date, I'm just saying something that might trip me up. But maybe I'm even being paranoid. What are y'all's thoughts on that? Is it good to have small talk with a chick like a week all the way up before you have the first date with her?
I don't think so. But that's because like I feel like it's just a lot easier to talk to somebody in person. For girls, they gotta go through a lot more stuff than us. So I understand why girls like to do all the small talking and stuff, because they got a lot more to worry about coming into a dating situation than a dude does, because
it's a scary world out there for girls.
Exactly. But for a dude, it's kind of like, I don't know, just the way we interact with other people, we just like the talking. I don't know. I guess for me, it was just so much easier just to, well, at least I got into the habit of being able to just like find out something about people by like face-to-face interaction. So then you get to read their body language and all that stuff like that, and you get to like see kind of like what they like and dislike and stuff like that, rather than you just on a phone. You don't get all the other reactions besides what they type into you, if you get what I mean. Like you said, you can't just, I guess you can't end up fucking it up more, especially if you guys keep texting or something like that. And then, I don't know, you might just say something that might come off wrong, like in the small talk. And then you like, she'd be like, ah. And then next thing you know, she got other plans when you post, like go on that day or something like that.
See,
so there
I
wasn't
would,
too much time
I would
in
if this chick wasn't out of town. Like I should've, and I'm glad that it's still happening, but yeah, I totally agree with you. In an ideal situation, I try to set it up in like 2 or 3 days from then, like, and usually that works out the best for me. But some people do it like way, way sooner or way, way later. And I don't know, it's just so strange. Dating apps is so weird and so subjective. I've even noticed that my habits and like kind of the people that I'm matching with are so different than last time I was like on this stuff. So I tried it in, what was it, 2018?
What's the difference?
Kind of like the people that I'm matching with and kind of also my tactics and understanding of going into it. I've noticed definitely a difference. I think like the first time when I was using it, I matched with like a lot of like liberal white girls and then like Asian girls. And like now this time it's like Asian girls, black girls, and brown girls, which is great. But see, I'm saying that now, but like did I think that was great back in 2018? Like I wonder, maybe I would have for the public sense, I would have felt and said that. Did I really believe that? Like I wonder, like I'm now having that question. And maybe it's the way that I'm matching. I don't know, just based off the matches, it's so different.
Like you're giving more women or just different types?
No, it's the same amount, but it's just different ethnicities and different type of women. Not even just the ethnicity part, let's move past that. But like even personality stuff, even the ways that I set up my profile, I feel like it was more true to me this time, but I thought it was going to be less effective.
Well, yeah, I think right now the stock of white dudes is real down. So I'm guessing all color people are getting some minority points.
It's weird. It's weird times to be on a dating app right now, for sure. So there's so many extra factors like that. Like you mentioned, like they're probably not trying to fuck a white dude, right?
Why trying to fuck white?
That's great. No lie. That's great for me. I'm not a white guy.
Like right now, everybody wants to be ethnic. Everybody wants to take their ancestry.com and be from this part of Asia, this part of Europe.
Are we sure everybody's like that, or only are the liberal whites? Because I don't think anybody in Alabama is worried about their ancestry. My people have been here for the past 300 years. I can show you the goddamn hood that my grandpappy wore at his first cross burning.
Good point.
I don't know. I kind of agree with y'all. It's a more ethnic time, I guess.
I got off topic question.
Sure.
Do you guys think celebrities are gonna make it in terms of the popularity they had?
Hell no. I don't think anybody's looking at any of these celebrities in a. I don't think anybody's looking at anybody in an elitist class the same way. I think athletes even took a hit from this.
So everybody's gonna start making less money, like the people that are making sell out arenas.
Well, I don't know if they're gonna make less money. I think they just got less respect. You can live in a world where something, let's take the media for example, bro. In 2010, I feel like the media was a lot more respected than they are now. They've lost their integrity over time, and they still make, they make more money now than they did in 2010. So the business model improved, but their integrity went down.
So we're gonna continue to buy their albums, go to their concerts.
Certain people will.
Enough people to maintain those musicians' tax brackets. What I'm saying is, are any of them, are they gonna take a tax bracket?
Well, first off, that when you talk about musicians, most of them are fronting in the first place.
True.
Like, there's only so many millionaires, and those are like the top of the top when it comes to musicians. And still, they like low millions. They're not even touching athletes' money most of the time.
Sterling is very right about they don't own the rights to their music. They don't own the rights to distribute their music. And they don't even own the rights to when they can or cannot make music. Kanye West has a contract with Def Jam that he's required to make an album every 3 years.
So, but how much money does that equate to?
Probably nothing. I mean, most likely that artist will be signed on something called the 360 deal.
So,
I mean, he'll make some money. Like Blueface is signed to a 360 deal, right? So they give him a lot of money up front. That's a business. It's his responsibility to recoup the money that was given to him up front. It's a loan. It's essentially a loan. We're going to put you in the position. We'll pay X amount of dollars to get you these producers to rent out this studio time, to give you these chains, these Lambos. Like the things and the chains and shit that he...
It's all rented.
Right. He technically buys them. He's the free will person initiating the process. But the person actually financing that is, you know, cash money.
Right? It's mortgaging.
Right, right. It's all mortgage. So when you can't recoup on that, especially when tours can't happen anymore, which is where artists make most of their money. Like I said from before, these artists don't own the rights to the music that's even getting streamed in most instances. So even that 0.06 cents that they're getting per stream, most of that's getting from the label, right? So the main way that artists make money is on tour, which can't happen given the current circumstances. But in terms of actors, like you said, originally, in terms of, you know,
some celebrities.
Yeah, in terms of the other celebrity and how they exist, like the Kardashians, for example, I think they'll be less respected, but I still think they'll be in the same spot financially. If they dip, they'll dip in a marginal sense.
I don't think it will change too much because, I mean, at the end of the day, when you give the people the bread and the circus, they'll be happy.
But not the people. What about, are we going to go back? Because right now we've been through 3 months, or almost 4 months of no entertainment.
Yeah.
When we've had nothing but entertainment.
Right.
So now that we realize we can live like this without entertainment, do you think we're just going to go right back to consuming the same amount of basketball, football, movies, and all that we used to?
I hate to answer your question with the question, but I feel like it'll help answer the original question. Do you think the general consensus is that we're living off in a more happy society without sports currently than we are without it? Because the reason why I ask that is, if you say yes, then we don't need sports as badly, and then the celebrities lose their money, or the entertainment aspect. Then these entertainers lose their money. If you believe in the idea that we currently are a happier society right now, if you believe that we currently are a less happier society than we were without entertainment, then people are very, very dumb and will make the correlation. Entertainment left, society got shittier. That's when entertainment comes back, society is better.
And do you think that's what they're going to tie these protests to and all the things going on?
People mistake correlation for causation all the time and will go out and protest for dumb shit.
What about you guys? Are you guys going to consume the same amount of entertainment that you did before?
I mean, I'm still going to watch it. In terms of sports, yeah, it's going to stay the same, to be honest.
But like, movies, concerts, festivals, like things you guys do.
Oh, it might be a rap on concerts and festivals, honestly, for me. But I was kind of but I'm also at that weird point where I'm 25, you know, at an age where it does make sense to probably go to less festivals. You've kind of been there and done that type of deal. It'd be interesting to ask an 18-year-old that, though, because they're in the precipice of being the most interested in all of these entertainment aspects. If you look at the age demographics of the people who consume the most entertainment, it typically is teenagers, right? Young adults. So I think it'd be pretty interesting to see what those other people think. I mean, I'm a very, very weird, almost edge case of somebody you would want to pull for this, because I don't really consume TV.
But any entertainment, any concerts, like festivals, concerts.
Oh yeah, in terms of concerts and festivals, I think they might actually take permanent hit. But I don't know about everybody else.
What you serve?
I mean, I think people kind of miss that stuff right now. I think at first there might be a spike, and I think it'll just go back to normal.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Because I mean, people have been tired of being in the house for so long. Like, you saw people starting to revolt, and sometimes, like, I mean, it's just American quality that we just like to do shit just because we kind of been told not to do it
and you got shit else to do.
Yeah, literally, 40 million unemployed people. Isn't that insane? My dad told me that last week, and I literally didn't believe him. And then he pulled up the Federal Department of Labor and was like, here it is. I'm not making this. This is not fake news. This is happening. We have more unemployed people than we did with the Great Depression.
So why? It doesn't feel like a depression.
Well, the reason why is our population also increased. So it's a bit, I don't like the skewed perception when people say that. It's like, that's a really shitty thing that has happened. But also, if you think about the percentages of it, 40 million people to what denominator, though, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay. So that high percentage.
I don't know what the percentage is, but I'm just saying 40 million might not be as bad as it sounds. But it's still really, really bad. It is fucking tragedy that 40 million people have. And it's bullshit. And it sucks. And the government's not doing enough between PPE and also making sure that we can officially get these stimulus checks out to people at a time where people need to really fucking pay rent. When these unemployment checks from state governments and these stimulus checks that were promised from the federal government don't come through or get withheld by some fucking bullshit politics between Republicans and Democrats, I mean, it just hurts society at that point. So many people are suffering unwillingly for that, and I mean, that is the fuel to these protests and the looting and all the bad shit.
They should loot Harvard for taking all that small business money.
Hey, if any of this audio is to come up in a case of law, I just want to let you guys know right now, I plead the fucking fifth. I have no idea if that's going to help. I hope I have a good lawyer for when this time comes.
The fact that colleges are getting small business loans, can we just call it a scam now?
College, at least for in terms of collegiate athletics, I can't speak on all. I feel like there are certain, for example, like to our alma mater's credit, I think that is college done right, where you specialize and we're like, hey, we know the six or seven majors that is gonna that we're famous for, and we're just gonna focus on these and specialize and crank this out. Like, that is to say, like, I don't think the University of Alabama should have, like, an international relations department or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think colleges, if you're ranked the last place in something like gender studies, and you're throwing the equal amount of funding to gender studies as you do to the main thing that you're known for, whether it's, like, engineering or medicine or law or even journalism or something like that. If you specialize in something at the college, if you're famous for that, I think you should just cut the bullshit for all the other things you offer and just focus on that.
Isn't there an argument for that? Isn't that the reason that there's golf in schools? It's because the football provides for them. So are you saying we should get rid of the golf program?
I think that too. Yeah. Or I think college athletics is fucked, to be honest. I don't think there's any way you can fix college athletics. I think college athletics is just fucked. And I'm glad all these professional leagues are waking up to just the atrocity of kids being completely used and abused for their likes and brandness for the sake of money and not getting a piece off of it. Hey, these kids, let these kids monetize off their goods. If not, you don't deserve to fucking have sports college.
Searles, do you see, is that a good thing that California did? Or do you think that will alienate their schools from the rest of the...
Oh, the LeBron James bill?
No, I think the whole NCAA did... ended up changing that, where players can make their money off their own likeness, but it's not going to be till like 2022.
Oh, that's great. I guess Cali bullied them into it.
Yeah, kind of. Well, LeBron James bullied.
Well, there was other states going to do it as well. It wasn't just going to be California. Well, California just did it, and I think other states were thinking about it, so then the whole NCAA was like,
we just got to get ahead of this. Does something, though. You know, I think there's a lot of people in this world who think of ideas, but I always respect the people who actually achieve and go out and say they're going to do it. At least give the attempt. Like, you know what I mean? I always respect whoever enacts the idea rather than the person who comes up with the idea and then just hopes somebody does it.
It's just the NCAA in general. Like, college football is a $1 billion sport. And even though I know you're saying that's only a few basketball players, I feel like a lot of time in college sports, it's about the team. Like, they don't even care about, because the players are forever changing. Like, colleges got such, like, strong loyalty to, like, the team. Because, like, you might have went to that college. Like, you a fan forever. Like, you feel something because you've been there. You've been, saw the game, stuff like that. So, like, you just going to go back just to see the team, like, down the road. Or you might just get season tickets for that. Like, they got people coming every single year just, like, to support a program and stuff. So, they just literally making billions and billions of dollars off of that.
Do you have a salary cap?
Yeah, I think you would have to. Right?
I wouldn't say salary cap. I'd just say, because, I mean, with this likeness thing, they going to get, I mean... They just basically made an open season, like, where before it was basically, I mean, it was happening, let's be honest, by the boosters and stuff. Yeah. But like you had to, it wasn't visible. Now it's just gonna be like boosters being like, hey, it's because it's third party people. So it's like they just like give like a company that they have, like, oh yeah, we about to sponsor this dude or something like that. So it's gonna be the same thing that's been going on, but if the NCAA is still profiting as much money as they're going to be, because like the NCAA isn't giving up anything in this, basically, besides allowing the players to make money from an outside source. I still feel like the NCAA needs to be held accountable for just using people's services to profit off of without giving those people something. Like you say, education. But at the end of the day, like, a Division I athlete is a lot different than any other student at the school. Because, like, basically...
They don't go to class.
Well, it's not even that. It's like they forced into certain majors. So it's not even like they could take any major at the school or anything like that. So you condense in what they can actually do. And then even beyond that, they can only do so many things because of that.
Yeah, and to build on what Sterling's saying, I definitely agree with you in the sense that these college players are pretty much getting nothing. Like, we as employees of companies at least have, in some form or sense, the opportunity to be able to buy it, at least recently, right? You know, for these college students, they're essentially doing free labor, like Sterling said from before, to the point that they don't have any equity or anything they can fall back on. Let's say one of these kids get injured or something like that. Take a Greg Oden, for example, you know what I mean? A famous basketball player that got drafted in the same draft as Kevin Durant. He actually went above Kevin Durant. Drafted number one by the Portland Trail Blazers, and Kevin Durant went number two to the Supersonics at the time. Like, that's how big of a player this guy was, that the world thought he was going to be better than Kevin Durant, such that a team fucking drafted him. This guy gets horribly injured and stuff like that. And, I mean, yeah, he was able to return to Ohio State, like, essentially as an assistant coach, kind of do some, you know, rehab stuff. But for the most part, there's a lot of things going on where, you know, if something tragic happens to their health, they're kind of dealt with the short end of the stick. So there's, you know, that physical sacrifice that you make as an athlete, obviously, that exists without there being anywhere near the leverage that you would have in a professional sense. And then going back to, yeah, they have the education, right? Certainly mentioned this one before. I think it's really, really difficult to get an athlete in a mindset to make that big of a career switch when you're 22 years into pursuing something. Because, I mean, there is a lot of these scenarios where whether kids consciously believe it or somebody convinces them of it, kids think that they can go professional or do something professionally within the sport that they got their scholarship for or play at. There's a lot of kids right now who play college basketball that think that they could make it to the NBA, that want to make it to the NBA, right? So I think, yeah, we say, okay, but the fallback is they can go back to college and get your education. I think if you have that mentality and you really believe it, a lot of these kids aren't taking school seriously. So, like, how are you going to be able to get, I don't know, if these kids are going to, like Sterling was mentioned, most of these kids get shoved into majors, like communications and stuff,
and
like that.
And you also don't have the time. Like,
yeah. You don't have the time, whether it, because you have to go through a gauntlet. I can't speak for other sports, but in basketball, there's AAU.
No, not even that. In college, you don't have the time with all the practices, the 2-a-days, right, 3-days. Right. The concentrating class.
And get your education. Yeah, and if something happens to you and you're no longer on the team anymore, even under that contingency plan that NCAA is saying is worth the gift of not paying you, that education could be completely bullshit, in my opinion. But that gift, essentially, they're saying is good enough, but even that gift isn't really a gift because you're kind of giving them something where you're saying, hey, now's the time you have to force your career, and we're not going to prep you with any of the tools that all the other kids who said that they were going to become that journalist, that said that they were gonna become that actual communication major, that had been serious since high school of making a career in this. They were prepped in high school to be like, all right, these are the classes that I need to take. I need to take these classes seriously to be good at this. When you're a college athlete and a high school athlete, even at that point, these kids don't necessarily have the time nor the focus really to be good at school. So now you're making this kid take a Calc 1 class when he might've not been paying attention in algebra, bro. It's really hard. It's really hard for a kid. Now, that's also a failure in our education system. It's probably shame on the kid for not paying attention to school, but it's a pretty, I can see how that happens. And I feel like that happens very commonly whenever, you know, those kids unfortunately have to deal with that problem where something happens to their career athletically, and then they actually have to enact that contingency plan of, you know, going through and getting that 4-year college degree. It's a really tough process.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's like, it's a full-time job for them. They got places they gotta be at certain times. They got meetings they gotta go to. They got practice. Like, I don't think people realize how much these athletes really go through to play the sport at the schools, especially D1, because like literally like their whole schedule is based around that sport.
Yeah, their whole life is. And like a lot of these American parents especially are like more hardcore about their kid playing the sport than they are sometimes. So it's just difficult when you grow up in an environment where sports has been the priority and that gets taken from you at 21, 22, or 23, or whatever your age is at that time.
For what they do, they deserve like a baseline salary. I'm not saying it has to be anything crazy, but just something.
I agree.
To like, cause like they can't even get jobs, like,
yeah,
like not even in the summer either, like most of the time, because like they gotta be back at a certain time to be training all summer, taking summer classes and stuff. So like, if you gonna force them to do stuff like that where it doesn't even allow them to have a job, they need something. Cause like, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think any D1 athlete should like be struggling to eat food,
yeah,
at times, right? Cause some. Like, I know they be having their, like, they got their own, a lot of times, like, especially at the big schools, they got their own, like, cafeterias and stuff like that. But, like, when those are closed and stuff and they don't got anywhere else to go, like, the fact that some of these people really don't got enough money to eat certain foods and stuff is kind of crazy. Even though you can kind of make the argument about affordable living and stuff, because they do get stipends, which basically go all to their living expenses. So, if you could say, if they live somewhere cheaper.
Do the big ones get paid anyway? Like, does the Zion get paid anyway? The LeBron?
I mean, like under the door, right?
Yeah.
Like, Zion's former agent came out pretty recently and just completely leaked that, you know, he had received, I guess, what was it, a 500K offer from Duke or something like that. But it's kind of fucked up that she's like ratting Zion out when she was the person who made the deal happen. You know what I mean? And now he has to take the hit because he decided to switch agents. Like, the only reason why she's doing all this is because Don was like, hey, I want a different agent. And then she was just like, well, I have collateral on you, you fucking kid, fuck you. So, I mean, that's, you know, one of the many levels of abuse that can happen when we have an imperfect system with the NCAA. You're not only getting fucked by the NCAA, you're potentially getting fucked by people that are acting like your agent when you're not even a professional athlete yet. And that happens to so many kids. I mean, like, that famously happened to Lonzo, right? Lonzo Ball, like that guy lost like a couple $1 million to his agent or his family businessman at that time. There's so many people in these college athletes' ears and pockets that are trying to influence them to do business their way on the anticipation that they're going to, their career is going to value into some professional money-making thing. That is to say, we live in such a capitalistic society where parents are willing to abuse the purity of kids playing sports to turn them into future business models. And that happens even outside of the NCAA.
But I mean, even if you, there's actually a documentary on HBO, I forget what it's called, but it's about that dude who went down into the Louisville scandal.
Oh, Rick Pitino?
Not Rick Pitino, like, it was like the assistant coach or whatever.
That's my guy though, shout out to Rick Pitino though.
It was like the dude who was talking to the assistant coach or whatever. Cause like, basically what these dudes do, there's people called handlers who try to like find athletes while they're younger and like, they try to like get in good with them while they're young and stuff. They try to be like that family friend, like with connections basically, like,
yeah,
they try to like get good with the family, all that stuff, do 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 do, like, cause they see the person early on. So then what they do is like, they go to the coaches and stuff and like be like, oh, I can help influence them, so they get paid off this shit. Or like later on, like brands hit them up and then like they can be in that athlete's ear saying like, oh, think you should do this.
Yeah, you should go Nike. I know definitely shoe brands for sure do that to kids, whether it's out in AAU competitions or whatever. Like, they'll talk to, like you said, that family businessman that shouldn't really even fucking exist. There's always some middleman, whether it's out there an agent that got hired off way too early to a kid's life just because they started showing up on an ESPN list, or even the parents in some sense. Like, shoe brands are fucking fiends. Like, when it comes to these kids and trying to actually monetize their talent, they're like, you need to only fuck with Adidas, 7-year-old Timmy. Like, cause you're gonna be a star. You're gonna get drafted in 2030, whatever. It's crazy. It's crazy how much it's crazy how much money sports makes. I think that's the one thing that the coronavirus showed me is like, wow, I can't believe something
this fucking insignificant makes this much money.
It's all about advertising.
It is. It really is. All the things that doesn't matter that somehow influence us is all funded by ad money. Social media, sports, entertainment, like movies.
The news.
The news, yeah. The media is influenced by ad companies.
That's one thing that I think I've realized a lot lately. Everything basically is just another way of how they can sell you something. Like everything is built that way. Like even like once they realize like it's popular, the next thing is like, how can I sell people something off of this? Like just think about all the social medias. Like they start off like saying, oh, it's about getting your ideas and stuff. And then what do we start seeing like on Instagram? We just see a bunch of ads for stuff. Twitter, we see like people trying to sell stuff. And Facebook, they got a whole marketplace now. It's like,
yeah, YouTube's the worst.
To the ads and stuff.
Remember YouTube without ads?
Oh my god.
YouTube without commercials.
YouTube is trying to become a social media platform right now with the stories and stuff.
Yeah, they're trying to be Twitch. They're totally biting Twitch right now with the whole live chats happening within the videos and all that stuff. Like,
that's a new thing.
They just started rolling it out. But no, there used to be a separate chat, but like now the UI is set up and the way that chatting has evolved on YouTube is pretty much mirroring exactly what's been happening on Twitch. Tech companies can do that because they're like, we have the name brand and people are already on here, so we'll just eat your whole company. Like Facebook does that a lot, Google does that a lot.
Wait, so Sirs, why are you saying it's trying to become a social media company?
Because they're showing stories and stuff like that and...
Mm-hmm.
Like it's basically kind of become like a video sharing platform, the way like Instagram was it's like a photo sharing mostly. It's kind of becoming like the video form of Instagram, to where you can show stories. It's about making profiles and like developing profiles now and stuff like that.
But yeah, man, I think everything runs on ads, and it's kind of weird because we point the finger at everything else but the ad companies. Like, I don't know, if we somehow as a generation are able to solve that problem of being like, hey, we can make money without ad revenue, then we could live in a healthier society.
What do you mean make money
without? If you as a company can make money without having your revenue be driven off of selling either your product's data or your consumer's data from the product to a company for the sake of ad revenue, for them to specialize ads, I think that's probably healthier.
But how? What other way would a social media company, which is only resource,
I would have made it. I would have been pitching this to a venture capitalist right now. Like, that's a $1 billion quest to solve. Actually, whoever solves that, run with it. You will be very rich.
And I hope it's a woman, because I'm sick of these guys running tech. And with that being said, we're gonna wrap it up there. Pretty positive, I guess. Probably not. I don't know. It's weird times, man. But we're glad that you're here with us, and hopefully we brighten your day up a little bit, you know? So stay tuned, podcast. Stay safe out there. Still try to socially distance, even though nobody's socially distancing. Just stay alive. We love you.
Protect your neck.
Peace.